Welcome to the Plan B CRNA podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Jones, and I'm so excited that you're here. The Plan B CRNA podcast is the only show made specifically for nurse anesthetists who are exploring options outside of their traditional career paths. This is the place to expand your mind and your goals as we uncover new ways to produce side income together. Journey with me as I go down various rabbit holes to explore the best Plan B options for you. This episode is brought to you by OnCall Capital. OnCall Capital is dedicated to educating CRNAs and other healthcare providers about investing outside of the traditional stock market. OnCall Capital also provides opportunities for you, yes, you, to create passive income and generational wealth while also lowering your taxable income through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. If you haven't hit subscribe yet, make sure you do that right now so that you don't miss an episode. Thanks so much for joining me today. And now, on with the show. Welcome to the rabbit hole on the Plan B CRNA podcast. Throughout my journey in finding a Plan B, I've gone down numerous rabbit holes to figure out which one works for me. Since I've done some of this research already, I only think it's right to bring that information to fellow CRNAs to help aid in your search. As always, it's important for you, the listener, to do your own research and form your own opinions. Everyone's situation is unique, and a Plan B that works for one CRNA doesn't always work for another. Self-awareness is the key in any decision you make, since you must have an accurate grasp of your own strengths, weaknesses, and goals. All right, let's get to it. Without further ado, our rabbit hole is dun, 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 options trading. Now, there are bound to be some of you out there who are wondering what in the world I'm even talking about. Most investor portfolios are constructed with several asset classes, such as stocks, bonds, index funds, or mutual funds. Options are another asset class that may seem overwhelming at first, but is actually pretty easy to understand once you know a few important points. I'm going to do my best to help explain the concepts to you without an overemphasis on terminology. So first off, an option is a contract that gives the buyer the right, but not the obligation, to buy or sell the underlying asset at a specific price on or before a certain date. A call option gives the buyer the right to buy a stock, and a put option gives the buyer the right to sell a stock. One options contract typically represents 100 shares of the underlying stock, but they can also be written on any sort of underlying asset, from bonds to currencies to commodities. The price of the underlying asset in an options contract is called the strike price. If you want the chance to purchase a stock at $50, then you would look at options with a $50 strike price. So let's go over a call option example with something you may be more familiar with, real estate. So let's say you see a new housing development going up and you're interested in purchasing a home in the future, so long as other developments arise or in the surrounding area. You would benefit from the option of buying or not. So imagine you can buy a call option from the developer to purchase a home at $400,000 at any point in the next 3 years. Well, you can. It's actually called a non-refundable deposit, and it helps you to lock down the price. This cost is known as a premium in options terms. So it's the price of the option contract. In the home example, let's say that the deposit is $20,000 paid to the developer. After 2 years, you see developments going up and zoning has been approved. You decide to exercise the option to buy the home for $400,000 because that's the contract that you purchased. The market value of the home may have doubled to $800,000 by that time, but you still pay just the predetermined price. In the alternative scenario, let's say that zoning didn't go through until after the 3 years had passed. Now, you either have to pay the current market price for the home, and the developer just keeps the original $20,000. So let's go over a put option example using real estate again. It's useful to think of a put option as an insurance policy. If you purchase a home, you want homeowners insurance to protect your home from damage. You pay a premium amount for the year, and you have protection in the event that something happens to your home during that time. But what if your home was a stock or an index investment? If you want insurance on your 100 shares of Facebook stock because you're not sure what regulators are going to impose on them in the future, you can purchase a put option. So let's say it's trading at $275 a share right now. You might want to purchase a put option at the $250 strike price, giving you the right to sell your 100 shares at $250 over the next year. Let's say Facebook stock plummets to $200 in the next 9 months. You can still sell the stock at the price of $250, limiting your loss to just 10%. Again, holding this put option comes with a price, which is the premium. If the market doesn't drop during that year period, you only lose the premium that you paid. Now, that being explained, you can do 4 different things with options, okay? You can buy or sell calls. You can buy or sell puts. How you mix and match those things comes down to your why. There are generally 3 reasons for investing with options. Number 1, options for hedging. This is the reason that options were invented in the first place. They were meant to reduce risk at a reasonable cost, much like an insurance policy. Like we mentioned earlier, you can insure yourself against a downturn in the market with options. There are different strategies for doing this that include buying or selling options, depending on how you think a given stock in your portfolio will move in. Hedging 10 to 20% of your stocks on an ongoing basis is generally a good strategy, particularly as you get closer to retirement age. Number 2, options for speculation. If you're a bit more of a gambler and you just want to buy options, you may be bullish on a particular stock. You can either buy the stock or you can buy a call option on that stock. Speculating with a call option is attractive because it can only cost a few dollars compared to the full price of a $100 stock. Remember, purchasing a call option gives the buyer the right, not the obligation, to buy a stock in the future. So if you buy a call option at a $100 strike price and the stock shoots up to $130, you can exercise that call option to buy 100 shares at that $100 price and then turn back around and sell them on the open market for profit. However, I should note here that this strategy shouldn't be extended to more than 2 to 3% of your portfolio because it is pretty risky in nature. Overall, you should really focus on being a net seller of options instead of being a buyer, which I'm going to get to shortly. Number 3, options for income. This is the real reason for this particular rabbit hole. You can produce consistent monthly income using various strategies, no matter whether the market goes up or down. Okay, we're going to dive deeper into this, but I run the risk of losing some of you in those details. I'm going to do my best to stay out of the weeds on this subject while giving you the information you need to decide for yourself. So first, I'd like to touch on some key concepts. On a day-to-day basis, markets move in a normalized and standard distribution over time. Okay, so brush up on your statistics background here. This just means that there is an equal and even number of days that the market moves up 1% as when it moves down 1%. And sure, you can have an extended run up or down, but there are no consistent patterns to draw upon. Okay, stock picking is hard because generally speaking, you're trying to pick the direction of something that is random. This explains why day traders are largely unsuccessful, but it gives those who sell options an advantage. When you look at an option contract, they give you the percentage chance that a contract is going to finish out of the money or OTM, okay? That may be 70%, 80%, or even 90%. So you can base your strategy to be consistently successful at or near those percentages. And you're able to do that because those percentages are based on a normalized and standard distribution. So next thing is, an option contract loses value over time as it approaches its expiration date. So therefore, an option seller has far more advantages than an options buyer because they're selling a decaying asset. When an option expires worthless, they still get to keep the full premium. This is much like a casino. Option sellers keep the money flowing consistently month in and month out. Sure, they have to pay out a winner sometimes if the contract goes sideways, but profits are still solid overall. And as they say, Las Vegas wasn't built on the backs of winners. Next up, the closer an option strike price is to the current price of the underlying asset, the higher the contract price will be. The risk of an option contract being exercised increases the closer you get to the actual price of a stock. So the seller gets paid for their increased level of risk. Remember, it's a 50-50 shot from day to day whether or not a stock goes down or up, and it goes along that standard distribution. This is no different than paying less for a health insurance plan that only covers extreme injury and illness scenarios. Next up, When you trade stocks, you're making a 50-50 bet one way or the other. A lot of investors don't like to think about this way, particularly when you're talking about long term. But on a short-term basis, that's exactly what you're doing. If you buy Amazon stock, you're making a directional assumption that the price is going to go up. If you are wrong, then you lose money. If you're right, then you make money. The beauty of options trading, though, is that you can make a directional assumption, be completely wrong, and still make money because there are built-in margins of error. If you don't get that point quite yet, though, hang with me. Hopefully, these examples I have coming are going to help clear that up. So next, higher implied volatility translates to higher options contract prices. So let's say that ABC stock has been trading within the range of $40 to $50 per share for the last 6 months. That's not a wide range, okay? Only $10 difference. Versus XYZ stock that's been trading between $30 to $60, okay? That's a much wider $30 range. The wilder swings of XYZ mean that the options contracts for XYZ will be priced higher than those of the more predictable ABC contracts. This is no different than lower insurance premiums for a healthy 35-year-old versus higher insurance premiums for a 60-year-old obese smoker. So let's get into some examples here. How can you produce income from options investing? The overall strategy is actually pretty simple and focuses on being a net options seller, but it's best shown in an example. So let's go with example number one. Let's say you think XYZ is trading for, you know, $50 a share. Okay. It's trading for $50 a share. You think to yourself, there's no way the stock is worth that. So you decide you want to sell call options for XYZ stock. By taking a look at the options chain, you see that you can sell monthly call options at the $55 strike price for $2.50 a share, or $250 for one contract, with an out-of-the-money probability of 70%. So you sell the contract and make a cool $250 at the start. Let's say the month goes by and the stock fluctuates, but ultimately finishes at $52.50, okay? Well, the stock just went up 5% in a month. You were completely wrong in your directional assumption, okay? But you still get to keep that $250 because the contract expired worthless. Great, right? Okay, so it's not really that simple. If your probability was 70%, then that means that 30% of the time, that stock price would actually rise above $55 and the buyer could exercise the contract. All of a sudden, you're on the hook for 100 shares of XYZ stock at below market value. This leads us to the process of profit taking, rolling options contracts, and multi-leg strategies. So profit taking. Let's start that example over. You sold one contract of XYZ stock at the $55 strike price for $250 in profit. Fast forward, not the whole month, but 18 days. You see that the price of XYZ stock is currently $52.50, and the price of a similar contract is now $125. You can close out your position by buying that contract that expires in 12 days. You spend $125 to make sure that you keep $125 from your initial sale without risking a continued swing upward over the final 12 days. This is an example of 50% profit taking, i.e., you kept 50% of your initial contract sale price. As you utilize more complex strategies, understanding how to read and create profit and loss diagrams for your particular strategy can come in handy. For instance, in this example, the profit potential is the amount that you sell the contract for, and you risk losing much, much more if the contract goes sideways. So moving on to rolling options. So this option is a great strategy for dealing with a losing position. Let's say that you see XYZ stock price moving against your position. If you want to just buy more time, you can do what's called a roll. Essentially, you close out your current XYZ position by buying the contract that you sold, probably at a loss, and selling another contract for the next month at a net gain. Okay, this reduces your risk by extending the duration for your position to be proven correct by giving more time for the probabilities to actually play out. This only works if you're selling at a net profit, though, meaning that the profit from the next contract outweighs the loss of the previous one. You can end up rolling positions for months to secure small gains, but sometimes that's better than just taking the bigger loss on the front end. Moving on, we have multi-leg strategies. Although single-leg options, such as selling one put or buying one call, are okay, you can combine options of different types and strikes to create what are called multi-leg strategies that can profit from whatever assumption you have about a particular stock. More importantly, you can define your risk and increase your profit potential by utilizing various multi-leg strategies. The basic building block of this is called a credit spread. For example, let's say you sell an XYZ call option at the $55 strike price and collect a $250 premium, and simultaneously purchase a call option at the $60 strike price for $50. Okay. The call option that you purchase serves as insurance that limits your profit loss risk. Yes, now you're only collecting $200 in premium now, but you're also protecting yourself in case the stock pushes above that $60 limit. Because your risk is now defined, you do not have to use nearly the amount of margin or collateral in order to trade. This is ideal for people who are just getting started or for those who have smaller accounts. The most common example of a multi-leg strategy is called an iron condor. That's kind of a cool name, huh? Well, this stems from the shape of the profit and loss diagram, which loosely resembles a large-bodied bird with the inner options representing the body and the outer options as the wings. In this strategy, you sell an out-of-the-money call option and buy the further out-of-the-money call option for one side. Then you sell an out-of-the-money put and buy a further out-of-the-money put on the other side. Now, let me take a second here to just recognize how confusing this has to sound for somebody who's brand new to this, okay? Options trading is an incredibly visual endeavor, or at least it is for me. I have plenty of resources for you at the end of this, so just keep hanging with me here. I've got a lot more to come from a visual standpoint. So the purchase of a call credit spread and put credit spread for XYZ is called a neutral strategy, meaning that you profit if XYZ stock stays within a certain range. In essence, you make money regardless of whether the stock goes up or down. Here's the big point. You can create a strategy that produces consistent monthly income with market neutral strategies and catering to your particular risk tolerance level through options trading. So there are five parts in this proper framework that can help you become successful, okay? Number one, trading small positions. If you get into too big of positions, that becomes, you know, something where you're taking too much risk with each particular position. So you want to trade small positions with a high probability of success in liquid stocks using the right strategy as many times as you can. Okay. Missing any one of those five components can derail you. So ideally, you want positions that only make up 1% to 3% of your portfolio, and preferably no more than 5%. Identifying win rates that are between 65 to 75% give you the best chance of success. Lower win rates translate into more risk. Higher win rates translate into significantly lesser profits. So you're kind of shooting for that 70% range there. Liquidity of the underlying stock is important. You don't want to buy and sell contracts on penny stocks that you can't get out of later on because there's not enough volume. What is the right strategy? Well, in general, stocks with higher implied volatility or IV rankings can give you more of an edge because you can charge more premium. Think back to the ABC stock and the XYZ stock that we mentioned earlier with their various, you know, the smaller range versus the larger range. You can charge more for that larger range than you can for the smaller range. That's your volatility. You've got more back and forth with your stock price. So strategy also includes knowing when to use an iron condor versus an iron butterfly, for instance, a calendar spread or more directional credit spreads. When structuring your portfolio, you want to make sure that you diversify into different tickers while also maintaining a market neutral strategy. So you may have some directional strategies. You want to make sure that if you have one direction that's in your portfolio, you want to make sure you have corresponding oppositional directions in another part of your portfolio to offset that and keep it neutral. It's not often in investing that you hear that you should trade often. but that's really a necessity in options investing for income. So again, think of yourself as a casino. You have to put a lot of butts in chairs to bring the steady stream of money coming in, okay? So sure, you're going to have to pay out sometimes, but the odds are in your favor if you trade long enough and trade in enough volume, okay? And it's the same thing for a casino. It's the same thing for an options investor. So keep in mind that sequence of returns risk is real, and you need to be aware of it. Let's say you flip a coin, 50-50 shot that it ends up heads or tails. Well, if you do that 10 times, you could very well end up with 8 heads and 2 tails, right? Do it 100 times, and the percentage gets closer to the middle, but it could still be 60-40 in favor of heads. After 1,000 flips, though, the percentages are really playing out properly, and you're much, much closer to that 50-50 ratio. Let's keep that in mind when we talk about how we're going to invest in options. For percentages to play out from that standard distribution curve, you have to invest often. So what do you need to get started? Well, the first thing you need is time. While you can get started simply, even that can be a time-consuming endeavor. Educating yourself is the absolute first step before launching into this. And while the overall concepts are simple, it's easy to stumble in the nuances if you don't really immerse yourself in this. You should also have at least $5,000 to get started. You'll need an account with an appropriate brokerage. TD Ameritrade is one of the best with their thinkorswim platform, but you can also get started on E-Trade, Interactive Brokers, or TradeStation. You can trade within a retirement account, but you're often limited in the amount of margin that you can use for those. You'll need to submit some forms attesting to your investing experience or whether or not you have joined a specific options trading service. Option Alpha happens to be my favorite. There are others out there, but I just don't think you're going to find any better than that. So things to consider. This is a form of active investment. In the vein of house flipping, the moment you stop trading, you stop making money. You can start small and simple, though. Trade some credit spreads first before launching into some of these more complex strategies that we discussed. This is going to help you learn as you continue to educate yourself along the way. Beware of trade picking services. There are many out there who would gladly take your money, but you should really look to make your own trades as opposed to blindly following someone else. You'll want to build out the systems that support your efforts. For instance, you can build out trade parameters within the thinkorswim platform that protect you and support your end goals. You want to automate this as much as possible to take the human element out of it. So make sure you take the time in the beginning to learn how to do this. Speaking of automation, I have to bring up optionalpha.com here, okay? This is one of the best services out there. So Kirk Duplessis is the founder of Option Alpha. He's done a fantastic job of providing the best options trading education available. The great news is that most of that is absolutely free. You can essentially get your online PhD in options trading by watching video tutorials and listening to his backlog of podcasts. There is really just no comparison to Option Alpha in the space. In addition, he is currently finishing up the beta phase of rolling out automated options trading. Okay. Now, hedge funds have used automated trading for years, but it's never been made available to the public before. Now, you can build out entire options strategies with no coding whatsoever. You can have bots that scan the market for hundreds of trades while you're transporting your patient to the PACU. The bots can take profit on a position while you're pre-opping your next case. And the bots can roll into next month's trades while you're freezing your butt off in an ortho room. Okay? The bot trading is supported on the thinkorswim platform of TD Ameritrade, with integrations coming soon for TradeStation and Tradier. But nothing comes for free. Okay? With auto trading, you're going to have to pay a monthly cost that has yet to be determined. And while it's going to be a tiered system, you'll have to make sure it fits with your portfolio size. That's going to do it for today's episode. Make sure you check out our show notes for some handy dandy links and books. You know, this is a really jam-packed episode. There's a lot in here. So you may want to listen to this another time or two just to try and get some of this lingo down. But if you haven't already guessed, you know, my number one resource for options education is optionalpha.com. If you get started on their education video track, you're not going to regret it. Okay. You can also go to Investopedia and learn more about, you know, their options basics from their tutorials. There's an options trading crash course book by Frank Richmond. That's a great beginner's guide. So it's a little less in depth than some out there, but it's geared towards those who just want to get going. And then you've got Options as a Strategic Investment, which is a book that was originally written in 1980. It's over 1,000 pages long, but it is the ultimate resource. Okay. So you get, you know, you want to make sure you get the more revised version so that your information is up to date, but it's got a study guide that you can purchase alongside it as well to help you in your education. As always, I'd like to thank you for listening to the Plan B CRNA podcast. If you found value today, make sure you hit that subscribe button so that you don't miss any future episodes. I also want to hear from you, okay? If you have questions, comments, or if, you know, future rabbit hole topics that you want me to cover in upcoming shows, make sure you rate and review me on your podcast player. I check those all the time, and I cover those questions in future episodes. If you'd like to connect with me or learn more about OnCall Capital, you know, make sure you go find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter. I'm on Instagram too as well. So, you know, visit my website at www.oncallinvestments.com. I'm pretty much everywhere. Come find me on YouTube. Reach out, say hey. Until next time, my name's Bobby Jones. You know, hey, we'll see you on the next episode. Thank you so much for joining me for another episode of the Plan B CRNA podcast. If you haven't already subscribed and reviewed the show, I'd be honored if you took the extra time. It really helps to expand our reach and get the word out about the show. If you're a CRNA who is interested in sharing your story on our podcast, I'd love to have you. Please email me at bobby@oncallinvestments.com for more information. This episode was brought to you by OnCall Capital. They are dedicated to helping providers like you develop passive income and generational wealth through investments in the apartment and alternative investment spaces. Feel free to check out their website at www.oncallinvestments.com and subscribe to their free educational email series. You can find OnCall Capital on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. You can also check out our YouTube page, where you'll find all of the show episodes along with other educational videos. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.